Our scripture this morning is found in Isaiah 43. I'm going to read verses 18 to 21. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. After a long search, as George Fox was trying to figure out way forward in life and how to find this connection that he thought must be more than he was hearing from the churches around him, he finally heard the answer to the cry within his heart when he heard the words, "There is one, even Christ Jesus, that can speak to thy condition." It was 5 years later that in 1652 that Fox heard the Lord say to him, "If I put the same spirit that was on the prophets and apostles when they wrote the scriptures, he or she would shake the whole country for 10 miles around when they spoke." The power of God that is real and alive and is not just a has-been, but that God is doing a new thing constantly. The next day, George Fox came to a great high hill called Pendle Hill, and he was moved to climb to the top of it, which he said was with much ado because it was steep. And I don't think he was a mountain climber. That wasn't his favorite activity in life and maybe wasn't even a common thing done in those days. But he was moved by the Lord to climb to the top. And there he says that there atop of the hill, I was moved to sound the day of the Lord. And the Lord let me see atop of the hill in what places he had a great people to be gathered. And he went down the hillside and he found a spring of water and refreshed himself. And that was actually the beginning of the Friends movement, or Quakers as we know it today, when it moved from really a personal experience in which he told others about what was happening in his life to a movement that began to gather people together and create a movement of the Friends or of the Quakers. It was the beginning of something significant, something new that God was doing in the world. In July of 2017, Friends gathered in Newburgh, Oregon, displaced Friends from Northwest Yearly Meeting, and we asked each other why we were there. Why were we gathered together? What is God calling us to create? And after 2.5 days of listening, the resounding answer was Sierra Cascades Yearly Meeting of Friends. It's the beginning of something significant. It's still emerging, and it still hasn't taken full shape, but it is something real that is among us. At the end of our gathering as the Sierra Cascades Yearly Meeting of Friends, one of our co-clerks, Cherise Bach, brought some closing remarks. And she exclaimed that we have done really good work together, for which we are all very grateful. And she likened it, the work, to childbirth, for which there is labor and hard work. Those of you who are mothers know that experientially. There is a need for healing. But then when you look into the eyes of this new baby that has been born, that you see new life, and the joy that rises with that is huge. And hopefully it feels like it's all been worth it as you are aware that this new baby is your child and lives and you will care for it. For Sierra Cascades Yearly Meeting of Friends, this is where we are. We are looking into the face of this new creation, this new yearly meeting, baby yearly meeting that has been born. There's hard work coming with lots of people work to do, lots of things to do to actually put it into full creation. But we have birthed a new thing. It's a sacramental moment. And the future will be stretching and painful. Separation is a part of our work, separation from Northwest Yearly Meeting. And there will be times when we're uncomfortable and we'll make mistakes and apologize. But at the same time, we're ready to nurture life and let it grow. And to give it the space to mature and to follow God. And to just live into what it is that God is doing. There will be times when we're tempted to control how it looks and to form it in a way that we'll find that we need to step back and allow God to be at work and to bless it as God would want to do. That we want to be truly open to new openings as they come to us and see what God is doing. Some have suggested that we're a phoenix rising from the ashes of a painful separation, of a difficult time, and that God is doing something new in our midst. I think that there's really not much in our lives that is exhilarating as new things, new beginnings, new adventures, times when we do things that are looking at, jumping out, yes. I don't know that he would say it was exhilarating, but there, for those of us that like a thrill of adventure, maybe it's more exhilarating than for some others. But for me, something that is thrilling for me is this new thing that is happening. We think about this new building that we're looking at creating, and there's excitement. There's kind of excitement all around us on multiple fronts. Yet I'm really aware that all of this is not truly of our creation. This isn't just something that we're doing, that we're gathered together, that we're brought together with a sense of calling and a purpose. That people are drawn together for a purpose. We're gathered by God to be together. George Fox used the phrase that God had a great people to be gathered. You know, when I usually think about this, I shorten it and we just say there's a great people to be gathered. But as I went back and read in the journal and read what it actually said there, it says that George Fox had gone to the top of the hill, and that the Lord let him see in what places God had a great people to be gathered. So really, it put the emphasis on God, and God let him see that there are places in which God had ready this great people to be gathered. And that is a profound difference to me, that God is gathering us. There are people in certain places that are ready, and we invite God to be a part of this gathering process. So have you ever had the sense that you've been drawn or pulled to a certain place or to a certain work or maybe to a certain conversation with somebody that you couldn't quite let it go? That was a compelling thing that you needed to do, something that you just found that there was a I must do. And not just an I can do it if I am in the mood, but I must do this. And that coming, that sense of doing that had not really been your own doing, but that you're compelled to go there, compelled to be there and to be about that. When you want to leave, somehow you're not released to leave. You can't just walk away and ignore whatever is before you. It's kind of that sense that I'm talking about, that compulsion that God has pulled us and that I can't just ignore. When I came to Seattle in 2000, God gave me a vision of a great people to be gathered, and as many gathering places as Starbucks and as varied. And I really don't have clarity about all of that and how it's to be fleshed out or what it looks like. And the truth is, I wasn't given a timeline for it. And I have thought about Abraham and Sarah, who waited 25 years to have a child that God promised to them. And so, you know, I have to trust God with what it all looks like. Nor was I really told that they would come. And So I don't know, but I am absolutely convinced that in Seattle that there are people who yearn for this Quaker thing of following God, of listening, of simply gathering, inviting God to speak to us, of knowing that God can speak through anyone, anywhere, anytime, and that we can listen, and as God is present, God will speak. And I have a firm sense that there are people in Seattle who do yearn for this. You know, people often say, I was a Quaker and I didn't know it. And so I have this sense that they're here and that they're ready for God to gather us. I don't know what that will look like. I don't know how that's going to unfold, but I am trusting God. So what does it mean to be gathered? And how is a church a gathered people? And I think it's really different than we sometimes think about. In Matthew it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, that I am there among them. And that we can just really trust that. When two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, you don't need anything more. When we're gathered in the name of Christ, Christ is there. End of statement. And the church as a gathered community is really loosely held. It has permeable edges. It's able to grow. It's not contained. It's gathered by God. There's potential and hope and a sense of community. It's fluid. It's graced. It's open. But I also sense that we're gathered by God for a purpose, that we have work to do together. That rather than just a group of people that are together because we like to be together with our friends, that we're gathered to do the work of God together. And that's something different. That we're gathered around calling and values and purpose and understandings. Often when we're in a church, we talk about being gathered in a fellowship and that we are here to be a part of a fellowship. And Thomas Kelly, who's a Quaker, talks about that as a pale and thin word and says that rather than really recognize the spiritual power of the blessed community and what God is doing among us, the church has settled for the social connection in our understanding of fellowship. That it's enough just to be friends with everybody and be this kind of social gathering. But the precious word fellowship, he says, becomes identified with a purely horizontal relation of person to person, not with a horizontal vertical relationship of person to person in God. So no wonder we become dissatisfied with the social connections within the church, that there aren't enough, that as friends that we're all just best friends wanting to get together all the time and do the kinds of things that we anticipate. But I don't think that's why we're gathered in community as the people of God. We're gathered by God to gather together as people living in holy obedience, as following God, as people that choose to listen deeply in our spirit and invite God to speak directly to us. We don't need all of the extraneous stuff, that God can come straight through whatever is around us and speak directly to our spirits. And we listen. We follow those nudges and those leadings, those learnings. And together, we do the work that God calls us to do. But you know, the truth is that along with new beginnings and a sense of being gathered come foggy knowings. We like clarity. We like programs that are well-defined and a strong sense of what is next. I can plot it out. I can plan it out. And I know that this is what's coming. But I find that with most new beginnings, and when we really have a sense that we've been gathered together by God, there's a lot of fog. There's a lot of unknowing. It's like crossing a bridge on a foggy night. The bridge across the Columbia River at Astoria is 4.1 miles long. And to cross that in the fog, to not be able to see where the other end of the bridge is as we go out over water is a bit unnerving. And that's often what it is like in our spiritual lives. You know, when you cross that bridge, you have to trust the bridge and the Department of Transportation. They would have put a sign up if this didn't go anywhere. And it would be all right. But when I cross that bridge, I have to stay focused on what's right in front of me. I need to watch the white line. I need to watch the car in front of me. I need to pay attention. Because if I'm not paying attention, I could get in trouble. And that is true in our spiritual lives and in the lives of our community. We focus on Jesus. We slow down. And we hold on. We hold on to each other. We ask Jesus, what is next? And then we listen. We wait. We grow still. And we listen together. We trust God. We trust that God has created this new thing and gathered us to it. And we trust that God will lead us step by step, day by day. We trust that we're enough. That we can rest in who we are and who has been gathered and trust in the miracle of what God is doing. Trust is key. And not understanding trust or not getting this trust in God is what often gets us in trouble. It's what breaks our relationship with each other and with God. Don't fight the fog. But look for the places where the sun breaks through and pay attention to those places, to where the light begins to shine through and inform the next step and show us way forward. I'm going to close with the verse from Luke 1:78. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us. Let us wait in open worship. Let us wait in listening to God who's here and speaking directly to us. May we be obedient to not only listen, to speak, but to speak the truth that God has shared with us. Let us listen.